you to turn. And I'm going to read a portion of Scripture with you this morning. God spoke a word to my heart yesterday, a powerful word. You can't lose this. If you change channels on me right now, you're going to miss what the Lord is saying. Okay? You're going to miss what the Lord is saying. You got to hang on to this with all your heart. We're going to start in Revelation. Revelation. The book everybody's afraid of. It's the Word of God, right? And this is a letter, and this was written by John on the Isle of Patmos as he was inspired by the Lord, and John the Revelator. Chapter 2 of Revelation in verse 5. And then we're going to go to the book of Genesis. We're going to start in the last book. We're going to go back to the beginning of the book. The book, the Bible. So I didn't even arrange that. That's pretty cool. Lord, we're going to start at the end. And we're going back in the beginning. How many knows that God is about new beginnings? All right. Now look back over this congregation today and I see this, some of these wonderful new Christians. And, well, how awesome you guys are. And I might share a testimony here just in a minute. Not of mine, but I might share a testimony that somebody shared with me. God is good. Everybody say, God is good. All right, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5. Hang with me because we're not going to be here very quickly. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. This is what the Lord says. Now, before you can say, oh man, that's so depressing, look back in verse 1 again. There was nothing really seemingly wrong with this church. This was a letter to a church. And there's seven churches in here that John addresses at the beginning of Revelation. Each of these letters is significant in during a time period in the age of the church since the day that the Holy Spirit came. So this was a time period, but this was a church. It was sometimes called the loveless church. Okay? These things he said to those who hoped. To he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. All right? Verse 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear these who are evil. You have also, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. So there's discernment in this church. There's powerful giftedness in this church. Verse 3, and you have persevered, and you have patience, and you've labored for my love, for my name's sake, and you have not become weary. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you. With all these credentials to this church's credit, Jesus said here, these are the words of Jesus, are written in red in my Bible. How about your Bible? Nevertheless, he said, I have somewhat against you, the Holy Spirit is saying. He says that you have left your first love in verse 5. Remember there from whence you've fallen. Repent and do your first works. Or I'm going to come quickly and I'm going to remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You may be seated. Now, what a powerful word of instruction. The Lord spoke a word to my heart yesterday. My mouth gets dry when I get nervous. You say, Pastor, you're too old in the ministry to get nervous. Never lose your nervousness. Because this is a holy place. This is a place you respect. I don't take lightly for what I'm doing this morning. So, go back to the book of Genesis. I said we're going to go back to the book of Genesis. And I want you to go to chapter 28. Book of Genesis. I'm sorry. Chapter 35, the book of Genesis. Everybody get there, say amen. You don't have to stand again, okay? Genesis 35. Genesis chapter 35. I want to talk just a few minutes of time about a man for a very few minutes of time about a man named Jacob. 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 Everybody say Jacob. Let me talk to you just a few minutes of time about a man named Jacob. This man has been burning in my spirit for a long time. In fact, I've ministered to this, but I don't think ever here, or at least in these ways that I want to share with you this morning, okay? So hang with me, bear with me, because God's going to take us somewhere quickly. And this morning, I want to share with you about a powerful character in the Word of God that has a lot to do with you and has a lot to do with us as individuals, as people. His name was Jacob. He was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. How many knows that Abraham was a blessed man? Isaac was a blessed man. Jacob was a blessed man. He had a brother that you didn't hear about a lot. His name was Esau. And he was a blessed man too. But you see, Jacob was the son of promise. We are here sitting in this room this morning that know the Lord are children of promise. God has made you a promise this morning. We are standing on the promises of God. We are promises. We are the promise of God. We are standing. We are blessed of God. God, we are blessed. Whether you realize you're blessed or not, you're blessed. Whether you don't know you're blessed or not, you're blessed. You know, you may not think that you're blessed. You may think everybody around you is blessed, but you are blessed of the Lord. We are blessed of the Lord. Jacob was born in a very dysfunctional family. And we think sometimes that we struggle in life in our families. Well, God don't choose families because they got no problems in them. God somehow, when he deals with people, he knows he's going to always deal with problems. How many, as long as there's people, you got problems? How many knows that? Any people in this room right now, this morning? How many knows that our life is plagued with problems? And so Jacob's life was that way also. You got to understand that he was a man that was blessed, and yet sometimes he didn't know he was blessed. He was sometimes indifferent. He was sometimes a person who lacked interest. He was sometimes a person who didn't have enthusiasm. He was sometimes lacking in his concern. Sometimes he was uninterested in God. Sometimes he was unresponsive to God. Sometimes he was impassive to God. Sometimes he was sort of lethargic in his view of God. And so this morning, we read about Jacob. Jacob was born in his name meant deceiver. Imagine being born and your mom put a name on you that meant deceiver. So that very fact right there shows that Jacob's life was prone to have problems. He's a man that you loved and you hated. He's a man that could do good and he's a man that can do bad. Anybody in here know somebody like that? He was a person that he could do good, but he was a person that messed up. He was a person who was prone to have a lot of problems in his life. And his life, he had so many struggles in his life as an individual. But he was a man that God had his hand upon. God has his hand upon you. And you may not be in the place where you know God is, but God's hand is up on you. God is seeking you. He's a seeking Savior that's after you. He's a relentless God who pursues you. He's a good daddy. He's a good father. He's someone who is after you. He's someone who's looking for you. He's someone looking to overtake you with blessings. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed today. And you think, God, what did I do wrong? Where have I gone wrong? It's not that you've been doing everything wrong. It's just God's been looking for you. And you've not been listening to God, or you've not been in the place where you realize that God has a powerful purpose in you. And he wants you to walk in the promise of God. God desires you. He desires that in relationship with you this morning. God spoke a word to my heart. There's something that gets missing in our life. There's something that gets missing in our life. And the Lord spoke to my heart, said yesterday, many of his followers are platonic. And I said, whoa, where did that? I mean, that's a word. I mean, that's a word. And most of us know that because we relate it to marriage. Having a platonic relationship is being in a marital relationship and not being intimate in that relationship. We have learned how in this nation to have church without the presence. We've learned how to do all the religious things right. We've learned how to sing hymns. We've learned how to sing songs. We've learned how to read the Bible. We've learned through seminary and through theological understanding and light shown upon us. We've learned these things. We know how to take up offerings. We know how to build churches. We know how to build cathedrals. We know how to build, mega churches. We know how to draw huge congregations in. We know how to do that. But yet something is missing, and God drew a circle around it. And he says we become platonic in our relationship with him. We've learned how not to be intimate with the Lord. We've left out something, and it's called intimacy. We've left out something, it's called closeness. Every time my life ever got in problems or struggles in my life, and God's speaking to me right now, it's because I got my distance from the Lord. I got my distance. I laid down my time with him, my fellowship with him, my relationship with him. And it wasn't that I was trying to do all kinds of bad things. It's not that people in a platonic relationship are necessarily having a relationship with somebody else. And Christians can do that also. They can be called Christians, but yet have other lovers on the side. And Jacob's life was about that also. Jacob was about, sometimes following his own course, doing his own thing. How many knows that sometimes our life can just be about doing our own thing? I'll do my thing. Well, just keep doing your thing. And your thing will end up in a wrong place. Every time. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way at the present that seems right to you, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God's seeking for a people that he can be intimate with, that he can hang out, that he can love you, that you can love him, that you can walk with him in the cool of the day. God walked with Adam, the first man, in the cool of the day. God just came down. Here's Brother Adam walking through the garden, doing all the things that Adam's called to do. God just so pleased with Adam, he just come down, joined arms with him, just walked through the garden in the cool of the day. Adam knew about the presence of the Lord. Oh, Betty, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. We've learned how to substitute for the presence of the Lord. We've learned how to substitute ceremonies. We've learned how to substitute ritualism. We've learned how to substitute fancy services and great music and great orchestras. I'm saying there's nothing wrong with that if it's guided under the presence of the Lord. But we've learned how to do that without knowing that the presence of the Lord is there. The Lord spoke to my heart a few years ago when I saw something on a billboard, a marquee, at a church. It said, worship services here at 11 o'clock. Wow. And the Lord spoke to me. I wonder if worship is really going on at 11 o'clock. I wonder if worship is really a part, because worship is about the presence of the Lord. Jacob, and you're going to learn this in the book, and hold your space right there in Genesis chapter 35. But Jacob knew about the presence of the Lord. Flip back over with me to Genesis chapter 28. I told you I was going to keep this short. The Europeans said Americans do not know how to eat. What does that got to do with this? They say we gorge our food. We gouge our food down. We run through a drive-thru and we get to 15 servings and we eat it. 15 servings and we eat it in 10 minutes. Sometimes God's going to break down. We've got to break down. He's got to serve one thing at a time, the way the Europeans are. They say Americans do not know how to eat. And sometimes we don't know how to do that spiritually either. We think God is all about drive-through. God is about sometimes things quick and fast, but sometimes he's about the dinner experience. You know why he's about the dinner experience? Because he gets to hang out with you. He gets to sit. He gets to walk with you. He gets to walk with us right now. This morning, He's walking with us. The Holy Ghost is here walking with us this morning. The presence of Yeshua is in our midst. He's walking the aisles. He's touching people. He's moving in people's lives. He's touching people. Listen, the presence of the Lord is here. I know the presence of the Lord, and He's here. I'm reminded of Enoch. How many's ever heard of a man by the name of Enoch in the Bible? Ote, I told you to go to two places. I said, Ote. I was talking like somebody on the, I don't know where that was, where that came, Little Rascals or something like that. Okay, but listen just a minute. Enoch walked with God, and he knew not death. The Bible said he had such a walk with God that God favored him and blessed him, and he didn't know death. God just took him. He just raptured him. Woo. Many of us have heard about the word rapture, even though it's not in the Bible, but how many knows that there's going to come a day where God is going to snatch His church out. He's going to get you out of this place. It's going to be just in the nick of time. God's going to get you out. But it's because of the people of God, the remnant of people who know God, who have walked with God, who knows the presence of God. Enoch walked with God. The Bible said in the next chapter that also another man by the name of Noah. How many's ever heard of Noah in the Word of God? Noah also, the Bible said, in all of his generation, God saw Noah and he blessed him and he favored him because he was righteous in all of his generation. He was a righteous man. That didn't mean he was a perfect man, but that meant that he walked with God. The Bible said, because he walked with God. God just looking for some people to be his homies, just to lock arms with him and walk with him. Hallelujah. Through your life struggles. God's just not going to walk with you here during this powerful, dramatic, and all praise and this exciting praise and worship. God's not going to walk with you there, but he's going to walk with you in the hospital, ER rooms. He's going to walk with you down the surgical corridors. He's going to walk with you when your problems, when your family's going through problems. He's going to walk with you. He's going to walk with you when everything seems to be falling apart in your life. God's going to walk with you. Amen. Because he loves you. Turn to somebody and say, he loves me. So Jacob knew about the presence of the Lord. In fact, the first time that he encountered the presence of God, even though he was born in a Christian family, a family that believed in God, yet Jacob did not really know God on a personal sense. And the Bible says that in the 28th chapter, Jacob called him and blessed him. He blessed him. God blessed Jacob. So Jacob, because he was blessed, he was at a special place called Bethel. A special place called Bethel. I'm not talking about a church in California now. I'm talking about a place that God significantly, geographically had located. A place where God decided he wanted to meet Jacob. There was a place and time in my life that God wanted me to meet him. And I met him at the cross. I met him where I laid my burdens down. I laid my sin down. And the presence of God overshadowed me, overwhelmed me. Jesus come into my heart because I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost without you. And I need you. I need redemption. I need salvation. I need deliverance. And God came right down there. And his blood that was shed cleansed me from all of my sin and set me free. If you're a believer here, that means that's you too. Somebody should have shouted right there. You've got a right to shout. You've got something to shout about. And you may not have a nickel in your pocket, but you've got everything to shout about. Because the presence of the Lord is with you. Do you need a dollar in your pocket to make you happy and shout? Listen, you can be broke, you can be poor as a pauper, and still know the presence of God is with you. Jacob met the Lord in this special place. And Jacob didn't know at first that it was special. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place in verse 10 and 11. And he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put his head upon it and lay down in that place to sleep. Man, he must have been tired to lay on a rock. I've been tired and laid on some rocks at night camping. Grant. But he must have been tired because he laid his head on a rock. I was tired one time and laid my head on a rock. And his name was Jesus. I said, he's the rock of ages. He's the rock of ages. He's the rock will stand when everything is falling apart. Listen, when the world is falling apart, when the world system is falling apart, Jesus is the only stability that you can stand on and know that your faith is assured. Amen. Laid my head on a rock, and I didn't even know the rock I was laying my head on. And he dreamed a dream, and in this dream he saw a ladder. Wow, what a dream. I've dreamed powerful dreams before. I dreamed after experiencing that presence of God, like I shared with you earlier, the powerful infilling of the Holy Ghost. I had a dream one time, and I dreamed that the Lord was out in the middle of the water. I don't know what water it was, but he was baptizing me. Baptizing not me, but he was baptizing. And I got to get into the water with him and baptize people with him. I'll never forget that. That was a powerful, vivid dream. Dream of my life, because the presence of the Lord was there. When the presence of the Lord is there, things will be revealed to you. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and it reached to the heaven. And there the angels of God was ascending and descending. He was sleeping right under an open heaven. He was sleeping under a moon roof to heaven. He was sleeping right under the presence of God. And angels were going up and coming down. And behold, the Lord stood above it. The literal translation here. Don't lose me here, guys. Oh, please, you got to hang on to this. Oh, Jesus. The literal translation saying that he stood right there by. The Lord is standing right there by you. The Lord stands right there by you. The Lord doesn't take you as a friend and then leave you when the weather gets rough. The Lord isn't a fair weather friend. He doesn't love you during the sunshine. And when the rain comes, say, take a hike. God's not there. He's there with you always. The presence of the Lord is there always. Always. So here he was, under this ladder, in the presence of the Lord near him. And he didn't know the Lord was near him. And behold, the Lord stood there, and he spoke to him. Listen to what the Lord said. I am the Lord God. I am the Lord your God. Has the Lord ever spoke that to you before? He has me. You could just preach a message right there on I am. But I am the Lord your God. I am all that you need. I'm the all-sufficient one. I'm everything you need. I'm everything you're going to want. I'm everything you're going to desire. When you think something else is there that you need, just know you just need the Lord. Amen. I am the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. And the land that on which you lie, I'll give it to you and your descendants. I'm going to give you this place. And also your descendants shall be blessed as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad from the west to the east and the north to the south. And all your seed and all your families of the earth shall be blessed. Didn't I say earlier you're blessed? Man, you're blessed. You're blessed. I know you got a lot of things going on, but you're blessed. Turn to somebody and say, I'm blessed. You may not even know Jesus, Billy, in a personal way, but you're blessed. If you're here and listen, you've done a life of sin and you're away from God, you're still blessed. You can be under the ground, not on top of the ground. You may not have another opportunity, but God's given you this opportunity today to make things right with Him so you can walk and live in the presence of the Lord. Just help me. I need your help today. I need you to hang in there with me. Say, I'm hanging in. Don't you leave me now. So I'm going to bless you. Granny's going to bless you. He's going, whoa, but you ain't seen nothing yet. And I know you've been blessed. I know you've been blessed. But listen, the greatest blessing in your life is the one in front of you. The greatest blessing in this ministry's history is in front of you. Quit looking at the past. Quit looking at your mistakes. Quit looking at your problems. Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes, for your redemption is drawing nigh. So he was, Jacob experienced the presence of God in such a way. Look in verse 15. Behold, I'm with you. And I'll keep you wherever you go. I'm with you, and I'm going to keep you wherever you go. I'm with you, Joyce, and I'm going to keep you wherever you go. I'm with you, Harless Mullins, and I'm going to keep you. I'm with you, Tiffany, and I'm going to be with you wherever you go. I'm with you. Let me ask you a question. Are you with the Lord today? Are you with Him? Are you with Him? Look at what He said. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to the land. For I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you in your life. Verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not even know that He was here. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't even know He was here. There are some of us sometimes we can be so into the presence of God. We can be so distracted from the presence of God. We're sitting there, cell phone. Sitting there looking through our pocketbooks. Sitting there thinking about our schedules. Listen, we've all been there. We've all been there. We've all done those kinds of things. But you've got to think, this is a priceless moment that God has set up and established. This is a place that He designed to meet with us so He can bless us, so God can bless us. It's about not only Him blessing you, but so you can be blessed of Him and bless everybody around you. God says, I want to bless you. Now I'm going to ask you a question today. Ask you a question. This, you're going to say, this is a loaded question. It is. Do you want to be blessed by the Lord? Raise your hand. Remember what Clay said earlier? Do you want to be blessed by the Lord? Raise your hand. Keep it raised. If you want to be blessed, don't be shy. I want to be blessed, but I don't want anybody to know I'm blessed. I want to be blessed. If you want to be blessed of the Lord, just lift your hand. Say, God, I want to be blessed of you. Surely the Lord is in here. So he was afraid. And this is what he said. And he was afraid. He was reverent and, I mean, in awe of what had taken place. And he said this, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of the Lord. And this is the gate of heaven. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Because it's the house of God, or the place where dwells the presence of God. God dwells in his, we're dwelling in the presence of God. God's presence dwells in you. He doesn't just dwell in tabernacles or temples made with hands, but the Bible said he dwells within the hearts of his people. God dwells within the hearts of his people. There's where the presence of the God is real. And there's where God becomes awesome in our life. Has there ever been a time in your life that you thought, God, how awesome you are? Come on, how many times have you been in that place where you say, God, how awesome you are? God is awesome. But there are other times in our lives that he's not so awesome. Let's be real. There's times in our life where he's not awesome anymore. We got to get back to the place where he's awesome in our life. Sometimes we got to be like these kids. We got to get away from the distractions of the earth. You got to remember, when Jacob left this place that was called Bethel, he made a vow to God. He said, God, I will keep my covenant with you. I'll remember you from this day forward. I'll do everything that I can to be about your presence. So he promised God the tenth. He promised God the tithe. He made a covenant. Has there ever been times in your life that God done something for you? And you say, God, if you'll only bless me, I'll do this for you. Maybe you haven't, but I have. Have you ever been in a place in your life that you say, God, if you'll only bless me, I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. If you'll bless me, I'll preach. If you'll bless me, I'll obey you. If you'll bless me, I'll do this or I'll do that. If you just bless me, Lord, get me out of this addiction. Get me out of this circumstance. Heal my body. Work in my life, God. If you only do that, I'll love you and I'll serve you and I'll live for you the rest of my life. But Jacob left Bethel and he got blessed. Well, then the Lord said he'd bless him. Everybody with me? Shake your head real big if you're with me. Really, honestly, I'm trying to wind this down. And I'm battling. I shouldn't have to battle. Don't take this wrong. If we're too consumed about what time it is rather than the presence of the Lord, we've missed something. We've missed something. Jacob was in a time that didn't matter. When that moment left him, he said, Lord, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I didn't even know you were here. And I'm so blessed. This place is awesome. God wants your life to be blessed every day. So when you wake up today, you can say, God, this is awesome. This day is awesome. Maybe everything around you don't seem to be working now, but God is still awesome. Is he awesome in your life? I said, is he awesome in your life? Has he quit being awesome in your life? Lord Jesus, awesome. Think about that. How awesome God is. I don't even know how to describe the presence of God. I don't even know how to describe his awesomeness. That word is an overused word. Just simply because we don't know how to describe him. How many here knows that sometimes you can't even describe God, how great and good he is? Lord, I'm in your presence. But Jacob left Bethel and he got blessed. He became a very wealthy man. You know what Jacob did? God quit being awesome in his life and he forgot God. He got away from God. He was blessed. He got away from God. He became abundantly blessed in wealth and riches and livestock and all these things, but he forgot about his covenant. He forgot about his vow. And sometimes we do that in the faith, in our faith. Sometimes we forget the things that we told God. Listen, and God is merciful and he's long-suffering, And every day I'm waked by God's faithfulness and His goodness. But He reminds me of the things that I've told Him. I've shared my heart with Him. He reminds me of the commitments that I've made to Him in my life. Listen, God got you out of some places, friend. It wasn't man that got you out of those places. It was God that got you out of those places. Listen, don't forget what God's done for you. Sometimes you got to go back to the place and be reminded that God has been good to you. Didn't scare you that time. Kathy, we've been blessed. We've been blessed. We've been blessed. Hannah, you've been blessed. Jenny, you've been blessed. Think about such a long way God has brought you. In 6 years, you got two little bouncing bambinos as worshipers and praise leaders. And little Ben just lifting his hands in the air in all time and say, hallelujah, 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 amen. You're blessed. If your children are praising God and worshiping God instead of doing drugs, you are blessed, my friend. You're blessed. You're rich. They're not worshipers today, they will be, because God's going to bring them out. So he lost his connection with God. He lost his walk with God. He lost his awesomeness. God wasn't awesome anymore in his life, and God blessed him, but he left that place. And he was fleeing from his life because you got to understand, if you know a little bit about Jacob, remember when old Jacob, he was a deceiver. And when he deceived his brother and cheated him out of his birthright, Esau. Esau was the eldest and he should have gotten the birthright. But his mother, Jacob's mother, and him just come up with this plan because they wanted Jacob blessed more than they did Esau. So they come up with this plan to disguise and go in there and be hairy like, you know, Esau was. Jacob, Esau was a hairy man. If you didn't read that in the Bible, he was. Okay, he was a man's man, I guess. I don't know. But he was just hairy. And so Jacob put this animal skin, went on and lied to Isaac as he was giving his last blessing. And he blessed and gave the birthright to Jacob. He swindled him out of it. He cheated him out of it. And so, listen, Esau got mad at Jacob because of that. And he wanted to kill him. He wanted to take his life. So when Jacob left Bethel, he was running for his life. He was running for his life. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, buddy. He was running for his life. He was running for your life. How many's ever run for something in your life? How many real people here? How many's ever run from something in your life? How many's ever run from the presence of God before? How many in here has ever run and the Holy Spirit been dealing with your heart, but you didn't want it at that time, and you just sort of run in your own thing? The more God dealt with you, the wilder you got. The more you drunk, the more parties you had. Jacob just run from his brother Esau. He ran from his brother Esau. Listen, he ended up in a place. This is an important place in Scripture. We don't have time to go there, but, well, I mean, if you want to, you can. But in the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, he ended up in a place called Jabbok. And the Lord brought him across the brook, across this stream, to this place called Jabbok. And the Bible said he went over. He took them and he set them, and he went over himself over the other side of the stream. And he left his cattle, his families, and everything behind. And he went over to the other side. Jacob was left alone. And there a man came down. This man was the angel of the Lord. The presence of God came down and met Jacob there at this place. Crossed the Jabbok. And there the angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob. Have you ever wrestled with God about something? How many real people in here today? How many's ever struggled with the Lord about something? God wanted you to do something and you... I mean, you didn't stick your fist in God's face and say, I'm not doing it, God. I'm just not going to do it. But how many's ever struggled or wrestled with God about things in your life? God wanted you to do something, but you wanted to do something else. God wanted to bless you, but you wanted to get blessed the way you wanted to get blessed. How many in here are real people today and know that we've all struggled? We've all battled things in our life. There's some of you here this morning that are struggling. Some of you still struggling with drugs. Some of you struggling with alcohol. Some of you struggling with pornography. Some of you struggling with different kinds of things. Some of you struggling with different issues in life. Some of you struggling with your anger, your temper. Some of you struggling, listen, with jealousy. Some of you struggling with different kinds of things. But listen, God says it's time for the struggle to end. Because I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. You got to get back to the place where I can bless you. You got to get back to the place where I can truly bless you. Because God does want to bless you. So the angel came down, and the Bible says that he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip and the socket of Jacob's hip and the joint as he wrestled with him. And the angel said, the presence of God said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I'll not let you go until you bless me first. Oh, there's something here you've got to learn today. I'm not going to let go of my struggle, God, till you bless me right there. I'm not going to let go of what I'm wrestling with until you bless me there. I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me there. I'm not going to let go of you, God, until you bless me there. Some of you are wrestling with yourself. You're wrestling with your way or God's way. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to win. God knows that God's always won. I'm not going to let go until you bless me. So before the day broke, he held on. How many knows you got to hang on to your blessings? You got to hang on to your blessings. You got to hang on to your blessings. You got to hang on to your faith, Betty. You got to hang on to your purpose. You got to hang on to the plan of God. You got to hang on. Somebody shout, hang on.
Hang on.
Don't you give it up now. Amen, Roy. Thank you, my brother. Roy woke up in the zone this morning. He was texting me way early this morning. He says, I'm ready. He said, it's on. There's a part of all of our life in Jacob and one of these places here tonight, this morning. And there's some of you here struggling with stuff right now in your life. Don't you give up on God until God blesses you. Don't you give up on the blessing. Don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on your family. Lord, if you give up on them, oh, Jesus. Don't you give up on that addicted brother or sister. Don't you give up on that alcoholic uncle. Don't you give up on that, listen, those people. And don't give up on yourself. Don't give up. You're going through depression. You're going through this and that. Well, I just can't make it. I can't get through this darkness. Just keep hanging on to Jesus. Keep hanging on. Because the best day in your life is yet to come. Because God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. I said God wants to bless you. He blessed him and he walked away from that place with a limp, reminding Jacob that Jacob couldn't have his way, that Jacob had to come to the end of himself. We got to come to the end of ourselves. Modern day says, people says you got to get over yourself. Sometimes, how many know you got to get over yourself? In 1990, I came to the end of myself. And I still wrestle with myself a lot. But I came to the end of myself, and it wasn't so much about what I wanted. So I just left the religious establishment that I was in. Nothing wrong. There was no infidelity, no problems, nothing like that. I just left because I wanted the presence of God in my life. I was on a quest for the presence of God. And I spent hours seeking for the presence of God. I spent days seeking for the presence of God. And my family thought that I was losing it. I was losing it. I was losing myself. And that's what some of us in this room need to do. We need to lose ourselves. We struggle in our worship, and many of us here today, not necessarily because we didn't know what to do, and some of us are here that way, but some of us still can't get over ourselves. We struggle with, you know, lifting my hands and dancing and shouting and all that stuff. It's not dignified. It's not proper. It's not correct. It's not, but the Bible says that it is. In order to get to that place, you've got to get over yourself. Self has got to die. So, God blessed him. Jacob, long story short, ended up in a lot of places. He ended up running, still fleeing from his brother. He ended up in a place called Shechem, where his sons killed and massacred a king's, you know, a village, a town. And because the daughter of that king had defiled the daughter of Jacob, and there was a lot of turmoil there. But God spoke to Jacob, and this is where we're going to end right here. Turn to Genesis chapter 35, and this is where I told you. And God asked Jacob to do something. And this is where every believer, at some time in your life, this is what you've got to do. You got to go back to the place where it started, where God blessed you. You got to go back to the place where God originally chose to bless you. We got to go back to the cross as a believer. This is our Bethel. We got to go back to the cross. If you ever get too good in your Christian faith to bump an altar, to cry out to God, because you say, I've got it all figured out. No, you ain't got it all figured out. I don't know anybody in here. I don't know anybody on this planet that's got it all figured out. I don't care how big your church is. I don't care how many thousands worship in your church. You ain't got it all figured out. I don't care, because this is a place that God calls us all to go back to. Verse 35. Then God said to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel. Go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where I blessed you first, Jacob. Go back to the place where I blessed you. Go back to the place where you felt the awesomeness of my presence. Go back to the place where that relationship we had was intimate. Go back to the place where there was an intimacy between you and myself. God wants to bring us back to the place where He can restore intimacy. And the way you do that is by just start spending time with the one who wants to spend time with you. Spending time with the one who wants to spend time with you. God took this time today to bless us and grace us with His Holy Spirit. God decided today, I'm going to bless this congregation at Lost Creek. And He's blessing a lot of people all over the planet. But He said today, I'm going to grace you with my presence. My presence is going to be coming down and inhabiting among you. God doesn't want a weekend visitation. God wants a permanent habitation of His indwelling glory in your life, where you know the presence of God is awesome in your life. Is He as awesome as He used to be in your life? Is He as awesome as He used to be in your life? Is there a fire in your passion for the Lord? Does your heart beat toward Him when you When you get ready for a moment like this to worship God, when you get up in the morning, does your heart beat for His word? Is there a passion says, Lord, I get to stand it. I get to sit in your presence and hear your word this morning. Is there a fire in your life to come and worship the Lord? Or do you make excuses not to be here? Are there more excuses for you not to be here? Listen, friend, if we listen to ourselves and listen to our mind, there'd be very few times that any of us would be here at this moment. Because there's always going to be a reason. There's always a reason. That's like Jacob when he first left. First of all, he got distracted by many things. He got distracted by his wealth. He got distracted by his distraction of running from his brother. And he forgot about who God was. He got distracted because he got caught up, all up in Jacob. We get distracted in our life. The devil's number one job is to distract you from what God wants to fulfill and carry forth in your life. And if he can do it with people, he'll distract you with people. If he'll distract you, listen, if he'll distract you with problems, he'll distract you with problems. If he'll distract you with your sickness or your finances or whatever it is in life, he'll grab something to cause you to lose your focus, to pull you away from the presence of God. Because when you're there away from the presence of God, you lose your hope. We're closing. He says, I want you to go back to Bethel, Jacob. I want you to go back there where I first appeared to you, where I met you face to face. The last place that I told you about, that where he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Before Jacob let go, the Lord blessed him. And you know how he blessed him? One of the first signs that he showed Jacob he blessed him, he changed his name. He changed his name. If we're here today and we're saved and we're washed in the blood of the life and the Lamb, one of the first things that we know that we're saved is that something changes from the inside of our life. God doesn't want a platonic relationship. He wants to be intimate with you. He don't want you to just come to church. He just don't want you to carry a Bible. He wants a relationship with you. He wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants a relationship where you're sensing His presence, you're sensing His love, your peace. So the Bible said he went back to Bethel. I'll make an altar there. Bottom line, there's a lot of things there, but I'm not going to read it. I want you to go back and I want you to make me an altar. I want you to make a place where I can commune and meet with you and talk with you, and I want to dwell there in your midst. God is about that, friend. God is about meeting us every day and dwelling with us and walking with us every day. That's excitement. That's excitement. I wake up every morning with excitement in my Christian. I've got problems. You got problems. But I wake up excited about the opportunity that God has afforded me. I'm excited about the Lord. I can't wait till Wednesday night. I get these texts from these young Christians, these young believers who just experienced Bethel for the first time in their life. Woo! I get texts, I get testimonies from these young Christians who just experienced Bethel, and they're sharing Bethel, they're sharing their experience with God every day out there, telling people what the Lord has done in their life. I'm encouraged. Mr. Steve back there, Morgan, he sends me these texts and he says, oh Pastor R, God is so awesome to me. I've just been blessed today. God is so awesome. Isn't that so powerful and refreshing? Can't wait till Wednesday night, Willie. I can't wait to get here because I'm in the presence of God. I'm not looking for reasons not to be here. I'm trying to find all the reasons I can be here so I get to encounter God, encounter His Word. I can't wait till Sunday morning promise. I wasn't long. I started late. But Lord, help us get to the place that our main concern is not worrying about the time factor in our midst, but being in your presence. Have you ever been somewhere before that you didn't want to go, wouldn't want to leave when you had to go back? Have you ever been on vacation before and you thought, man, that beach is good, man. That beach is good. Come on. That beach is good. I know I've been there. Because that evening sun and going down and you're sitting out there and your feet out there in them waves and you're beholding the wonder of God and you're thinking, wow, what an awesome place this is. And God just captivates you in that moment in nature. How awesome it is. Take those long walks on the beach. Mrs. R, she's over there drooling right now at the mouth. Pastors don't get vacations. I don't know. But just hanging out, relaxing, right? Didn't you tell me that one time coming back from a beach vacation, I'm calling you out here. I don't mean to. But, so if you didn't want to tell this story, it's too bad. He said, I cried, Pastor R, because I just sat there on the porch or wherever it was, of that motel, and I just started crying because I did not want to go back. The moment was so great. Didn't you say that? And that's truth. That ought to be the way we feel about leaving the presence of God. Lord, I don't want to go back to where I was. I don't want to go back to the life that I lived. I don't need those drugs anymore. Lord, I'm not getting... Oh, Lord, you replaced any high I thought that I could have gotten with crack or cocaine. You replaced anything I could have ever gotten with alcohol. You replaced anything that I thought I'd ever got through some kind of a sexual wild encounter. You replaced... Oh, Lord, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. Just let me dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life.
Presence of God, where He's real in your life, where He's real. He's not just a hymn or a song. He's not just a pretty sermon. He's real. See, there's one thing about it. If you think you're just going to get a pretty sermon out of me, you're going to get lots of times a lot of different things. But what you will get, I pray and I hope, you'll get real. because I want to be real with you. I ain't going back. What'd you sit down for? I ain't going back. Don't get worried. I ain't going to drag you out up here. But listen, I get to shout with my granddaughter today. I get to shout with my granddaughter. 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 I get to shout with my kids. I get to shout with my kids. I get to shout with my kids. Hallelujah. Listen. I get to shout and rejoice with Ben, Willow, and Jake. Man, I was blessed to see Jake in the presence of the Lord earlier. He was back here. No, he was up here. Yeah. He was back there. Then he moved. I saw Jake dancing in the presence of the Lord. Get some of that. 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 Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. We need the presence of Jesus. How many say we need the presence of the Lord? We need a Bethel today in our life. We need a Bethel. We need a presence where God awakens that in us. If you need to get back, you need to wake something up in your life. Well, listen, well, you're just shedding tears for no reason. There's a setting you can't even understand. You're driving down the car, road in the car, and just had to pull off the road. I can't see. The drive, my eyes are so full. Because, God, there's something going on in this car. I don't know what's going on, but something's going on in this car. You just have your moment. You can just shout and just have your moment. Because the presence of the Lord is there. I tell you what. You can have what you want, but I'll take that. Oh, Jesus, you all been so awesome. I promise you this, it's not my ambition to bore you or to prolong services to make it difficult for you, but to give you truth. Sometimes it takes just a moment longer. If I can do it in 5 minutes, that's great. God did a lot of things here, but I had to share that word. That word's been in my spirit for a long, long, long time. And so today, I don't know about you, but I'm going back to Bethel. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. He says, I'm going with you. I wonder today, as I make my journey toward Bethel, back to the cross, and we all need to go back there. I don't care how long you've been serving God. I don't care how good you think you are, or how great you got things figured out. But we all need to get back to that. Because we're in the last leg of the race, friend. Things are lining up in the Word of God. We need to be ready. We need to go back to Bethel today. So I wonder today, as I get ready to take my journey, I'm going up there. And I'm going to kneel at the cross. And I'm going to say, God, I've made a lot of mistakes as a pastor. As a leader, Lord, I've missed you sometimes. Sometimes, Lord, that I've failed you. Any real people in here today ever failed God before? Jacob did. But finally God got him in a place and he cornered him and said, Jacob, this is what you need. Just go back. Just get back. Get back to the house. Get back to the house of God. Get back to where I am awesome in your life. So I'm going to make my journey to Bethel. And I'm going to stand back here. And if you want to go with this pastor, you can go with me to Bethel. And if you've got it all figured out, you don't want to, that's right. That's between you and the good Lord. I'm not going to stand up here 10 minutes and beg you to come. If you haven't already got that figured out, then something's wrong, wrong, wrong. But I'm going to Bethel. Because there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. And if you want to go to Bethel, you get in right behind me. You say, God, I'm going to meet you back at the place where you were awesome. Because I want you to be awesome in my life, Lord. I don't want to satisfy or settle with just an experience, Lord. I want to get back to the place, Lord, that joy is streaming out of my spirit. I want to get back to the place where I sense the presence of God in such a real way, Lord, that nothing unmistakably can deny it, Lord, that there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Just come right on. Just come right on right now. God's speaking. God's thundering, in fact. He's thundering. Listen, there's room at the cross for me. Just come and make your way. Just spread all out and say, God, I want your presence. I need your presence, Lord. I need your presence, Lord. I need your presence. I need your presence. Lord, I need your presence. Yeah, Lord. Lord, lead me. Lord, lead me. Lead me to your presence. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Lead me to your presence. I want to dwell in your presence. I want to dwell in your presence. Because in your presence, there's fullness of joy. There's joy in your presence. There's joy in your presence. There's joy in your presence. Come on, cry on the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Cause there's joy in your presence. There's joy in your presence, Steve. There's joy in your presence, Steve. In your presence. 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 Come on, come on, come on, come on.